Hey y'all, good morning. I'm here today at the Nacogdoches Farmers Market. I'm super, super excited. I've been so busy on Saturdays. This is the first opportunity I've had to come out here to Nacogdoches and just spend a little time, kind of spend the day here. I came out here to Nacogdoches Farmers Market specifically to meet someone today, Swift Hill Farms. A little chicken farm. They've got some incredible eggs, and I'm really excited to meet the family that produces those eggs. So let's go check this out. Well, it's about 9:30 a.m. and the farmer's market is just up and cracking, man. Everybody's here getting first dibs on all the pastries, all the fresh farm eggs, all the remaining produce from last season, and a few things are being produced early on this season. But I'm heading over here to meet a very important person. Madeline's over here with Swift Hill Farms. I'm very excited to meet her for the first time. There she is. Hi, Madeline.
Hi, how are you?
This must be Noah back here and the crew.
How are you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm Chad. I know who you are. Actually, I don't know your name, but I've seen a lot of photos.
Shelby Sue.
What's your name?
Shelby Sue.
Shelby Sue. And this guy?
Titus.
Titus. Shelby and Titus. Awesome. Well, I wasn't sure what to expect this early in the season. What how early do they start these markets, or is it all year?
It's all year.
It's all year?
Yeah, they only take off, I think we took off 2 weeks.
Okay.
Two weekends during the holidays.
That's cool. A lot of farmers markets shut down during the winter, you know, so it's nice you can keep selling all year.
Yeah, for sure.
And what a beautiful place. I mean, I've never spent any time here in Nacogdoches yet, so beautiful little city.
Oh, well, you need to. The downtown is really pretty. Then there's school. The campus is really
college.
Super nice.
Awesome. Well, tell me, since there's not a big huddle around here yet, what do you got going on here? What are we doing here this morning?
I'm selling my non-soy, non-GMO eggs, and then we're trying out the insect protein diet ones. So these are a free-range diet, and like I said, the main source of protein is the black soldier larva. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
I'm camera shy.
I'm mostly going to use this for audio, so
okay.
Just be yourself, man. So one of these eggs is fed insects?
The feed contains insects as the main source of protein.
I see.
So these ones have corn and soy, and these are no corn, no soy, no GMO.
I see.
And their main source of protein is oatmeal, peanuts, Milo, and alpaca.
Okay. Well, they look a lot different.
Well, they're different. These are different different flocks.
Different flocks, okay.
Yeah, so they're the same breed, but
different
they are
ladies.
Different flocks, yes.
You know, part of why I wanted to come out is to learn from you. I've been watching what you're doing with the chickens. We don't have chickens yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so any little information I can get, you know. And we're probably going to start out with like a dozen, you know, just a dozen birds just to kind of...
Dip in. Like, what are you looking for? Are you trying to do like the multicolor?
We just want to eat eggs every morning and then utilize the birds to make mulch and the fertilizer. So,
well, we've been very happy with the Novigen and the Plymouth Rock, the blue ones, blue Sapphire Plymouth Rock. Those have been the breeds we've been using, I guess.
Right.
They're pretty good. They're cold hardy. They have a great demeanor, I guess, about them.
They're friendly.
They're very friendly. Now, if you wanted to learn about like the rainbow eggs, there's two other producers here that are doing the
make
rainbow.
Make some bright, eggs. Colorful eggs. Do you do any meat chickens or just?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
We started with the Freedom Rangers, which are from the Freedom Ranger hatchery, and we butchered them too late, so they're great. Mm-hmm. But they're not awesome. So we're going to try a new batch, and those will be pasture.
I see. Heck yeah.
Hard rock would be pretty loud.
Right.
So,
there's probably some people that are like collectors and they want to have all the fancy birds, right?
Well, the rainbow eggs are
yeah, that's cool. So tell me a little bit about your history. Are you from Texas? What's your story?
She's born in Mexico. She's been here well over 25 years now. My family's been here since the war.
You grew up out here in East Texas?
Yes.
Cool.
Been here in, all of East Texas.
All
so,
over.
So we've been here for a long time. We came from Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee before that.
I see.
And and we like it here. So if I had to leave here, it would either be back to Alabama or up to Idaho, one of the two.
Idaho's
so.
Nice too. Have you been to Utah?
I've been to Utah. I've been through Utah.
Okay.
Yeah, not much there.
My hometown is Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
So yeah, we moved out here a year ago. We wanted to get out of the city, period. You know what I mean?
Where are you guys from?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake,
Utah.
Yeah.
And so, it's still pretty small, but it's growing, you know. And
yeah. I've just been through there. It's nice, but
it's pretty. It's kind of like, I mean, every state's different, like, depending on where you are, the terrain's different, people are different. So how long have you had your current farm and began with the chickens? It seems
so
like a new thing.
So we established our farm since 2020.
Okay.
So the farm itself has been in...
It's been run since 62.
Yeah.
Okay.
Grandparents bought that property in 61, 62.
But at Swift Hill Farms since 2020.
And you just said, hey, let's go ham and let's go crazy and get a bunch of chickens.
Well, no. Originally, we were going to get just the 35 chickens that we started with. We were going to get a few rabbits and goats and whatnot. And chicken
leads to another. I heard that's a problem.
And now we're thinking about more chickens.
So over at my house, my wife's mostly the knowledgeable one about all the farming, and I'm kind of the muscle, you know, but I've been learning, and I just love it, man. Just being out here with nature is just, it's what people need. That's what people are missing out on, you know?
You can change it. You definitely see it over the last, even 20 years. Now things have changed as the urban areas get... become what they are. But I still work in Houston and will for at least a little while longer. Even here in Texas, Houston, Austin, and Dallas is just a different animal.
Right, exactly. So. And you know, what a place to raise kids, man.
Oh yeah,
out here.
We had a plan to do it after we got married and had kids. And then, of course, with COVID, that kind of just expedited things because they weren't allowed, in Houston, they weren't allowed to go to the park or anything like that. So we were like, no. Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
We were spending a lot more time here, and it just made more sense to be here full time.
Yeah. And they learn so much, man, with the raising of the animals, the way you treat animals. Right? And then I think they're going to learn this side, too, the salesmanship, the commerce.
Yes, of course.
Which, to me, is huge, you know? I mean...
That's the plan.
Yeah, it's so cool.
For example, he's 4 years old, and he already understands the concept of we have to work in order to buy things, whether it's fun or whether it's food. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, I think that's huge. And sometimes he's my salesperson, number one.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, do you want eggs?
Well, let's get him out here. Let's get him over here.
Yeah, he'll sit there. He's like, do you want eggs? How many eggs do you want?
Yo, so I made it to the little chicken farm out here at Swift Hill Farms. They've invited me over to take a look at their brood, see these chickens firsthand, and I'm hopefully going to acquire some of this manure that the chickens have so kindly created. But yeah, what a fun experience to meet the family and see what they're up to. What's up, guys? Did you sell all your eggs?
My dad's here. The chickens are here.
Chickens are in here? Can you show me? Check it out.
These are chickens. Oops. Oh. That's my bike. I was like riding.
Is this your racetrack?
No, I just make tracks with my bike.
Nice.
Before I can go.
So introduce me to these chickens over here.
But when I turn, it keeps making me crash when I turn.
On your bike?
On your bike?
Yeah, it keeps making me turn. When I turn,
do you ever race just up and down this area right here, fast as you can go?
Mm-hmm, but when I do that, I just pause.
Yeah.
That's when it's harder for me.
Tell me about the chickens. Do you know much about them?
Mm-hmm, but sometimes they fight back.
They lay eggs.
Which ones are the best tasting?
No, we ate the roosters and we moved this guy to the area.
Yeah, they're gone.
So this
was the ranger skin. We already shot this one, and we moved it. Moved it to this skin.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
The rangers are the meat chickens?
Yes.
So you have to eat them within a certain age, or?
Nine weeks, ideally.
You can do anywhere from, like, commercials are done. 7 to 8 weeks, and then but mainly free range pastured birds range anywhere from 9 to 11 weeks depending on the bird.
Okay.
And then of course you can get into roasters, which are a bigger bird, which most people, you bake them whole,
right?
So, and they're a little bit older. You get into 15 to 18 weeks.
So are you freezing them or selling them or?
Right, okay. Now it's just freezing them.
Mostly just for yourselves.
Yeah. We'll get some more for ourselves here shortly because we've already kind of gone through what we had. But once we get everything situated with the layers, then we'll go back to doing meat birds. We'll process, we'll be selling.
And then the pastures
you
see here and then around.
That's where they kind of run around?
Well, we're going to rotate them eventually. Okay. But
each block will have enough space for about 8 paddocks each. So we'll rotate them through every week. And, that'll give each paddock roughly 7 weeks of rest.
It's kind of ironic that this area is known for producing commercial chickens, right?
Yeah.
You go to Pilgrim's Pride.
Well, you're sitting in a commercial chicken.
Yeah, and across the street.
My grandpa built these houses back in the 70s, 80s.
Okay.
He built those two houses over there in the early 80s.
So he was doing the same thing back then?
He was doing it for Holly Farms and a few others.
Okay.
And the same is true about the commercial chickens with the farmers today that it was back then. Every time you think you're going to get ahead, they do something else.
It's hard to make a living.
It's hard to make a living. I mean, they basically, there's a few farmers that fight them and try to maintain being a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that commercial farmers would get pissed off the amount of money they got to put in, all that kind of stuff. But they're employees at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Whoever they're growing for pretty much runs their operation.
The buyers and stuff, yeah.
See, whether it be Pilgrims or Cargill or Tyson, They tell them what to feed, when to raise, when to upgrade their houses, how much money they got to spend, and that kind of stuff. So, they're beholden to them. It's a little tougher doing what we're doing, but we got to come up with all the costs, so we get to live or die on our decisions.
Right. Are you doing any vegetables, gardening in that sense?
We're going to be, for the chickens?
Just for yourself.
For ourselves, yes. We'll plant here shortly. We always seem to be a little bit behind on our stuff. But last year we planted a little more, thinking we could sell some at the market. We're not going to do that this year. We're going to do it for ourselves.
Right.
Peas, we'll do some tomatoes. She does herbs, which we're actually going to, because we can do that in a greenhouse.
Yep.
We'll expand on that a little bit, because she can sell that at the farmer's market and to some of our restaurant people.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So do you sell to restaurants?
Yes.
The eggs?
The eggs, yeah.
Cool. So how many is, like, per day, how many eggs are you producing?
Right now, a little over 200. We have two flocks that haven't started laying yet. We've got a little over 500 birds, and here in about 3 weeks, we'll be doing about 90% of that a day.
That's awesome.
So we'll be doing roughly about 480, somewhere in there. So Madeline's been working hard to pretty much get those sold already.
Yeah, exactly.
We've looked at other farmers markets. We're real supportive of the farmers markets and everybody that does it, especially Nacogdoches. We're going to stay committed to the Nacogdoches farmers market.
Yeah.
But we have no, we're trying, there's to go to Houston, to go to Fort Worth.
It's a hard life to go, right?
It's really hard to make a living doing farmers markets that way.
Yeah.
And take care of the place, because should be careful. Yeah. Some of the farmers markets in Houston, there's some good markets. They've been kind of taken over by certain groups. They're, treating it as a business instead of a farmers market. So
yeah,
they're making it a little bit expensive for the farmers, and
charging fees.
Some of the requirements that they're asking for as far as insurances and stuff, or
it's not worth it.
It makes it not worth it. There's a few people, that's all they do, and Houston's a big enough area, population area, but if you get a dedicated group of people and you sell enough, you can cover those costs. But,
right.
I win! If you have enough business that that's your sole market, it's worth it. You can absorb those costs too.
Right. So you said the type of kind of underlayment or fluff that you're putting in here is, it's not hay.
No, we don't use hay. We use flake shavings bought here from, we use bowl speed shavings. They have a wide flake. It's made here in the USA.
It's like a wood shaving.
It's a clean flake, and it's real good. And we start them out on about 4 inches, and we add if needed in certain areas. Hopefully, as soon as we get these birds outside, we're going to open the doors and do a big clean out and do a new fresh batch.
So you may be able to sell this product too, right?
we're basically just doing this because you asked.
Okay.
As just a friendly thing.
Okay.
Everything that we do will go out from where.
Back into your.
Yeah,
compost.
Where the chickens aren't grazing, we'll put that on the pastures that the chickens aren't.
Got it. Cycle.
We'd like to recycle it throughout the rest of the farm.
It's all about the coffee.
With fertilizer,
it's all about the coffee.
Trading for coffee.
The cost of fertilizer going up, and chicken litter. These guys work hard to get it out of the houses, and it costs what it costs. And so we'd just rather like to get to the point where we can sustain ourselves as far as litter control and fertilizer management. So
awesome. Well, I appreciate it, man. We're excited to have it, and I'm gonna definitely don't let me forget the eggs today. I need at least a couple dozen. Awesome. Let's go look down here. I want to see these guys.
Yeah, so instead of looking at these, this is the Homestead Girls, which they're molting right now. They've been molting for a while. So this is our beta group. This is the first group we started. This is where we experiment with everything.
Okay.
You could say. But anyway, we learn a lot from them. And these are the blue beanies. I mean, these are the blue girls. When we first got this group, we were expecting large to jumbo
eggs.
Extra
large to jumbo eggs.
And they're staying between large and extra large. So originally that's why we got the breed, but it turns out the Nova Jump Browns are laying the large, extra large, and jumbos.
Yeah, we have a client in Houston that's a pizza place. That also has 4-year-old beer.
Anyway, they're looking for the big.
And he was
in the crust, or
he was. He's got a pizza that they have a cooked egg on the pizza. And so we had thought at the time, okay, well, we'll get these blues because that's what it was, and that may help with his presentation. Well, yeah, these girls don't lay as big an egg as we thought they were supposed to.
Okay.
The other thing is, really, once we did get them to where, once we sent him some jumbos, we started sorting them out, and he found out that through their machine, their oven, that he had to run them because it wasn't cooking the egg right.
They were too big.
Too big.
They were too big. So yeah. So but they're good. They lay a good egg. They lay at a 90% efficiency as well, so we're happy with them. They're real tame. We had a rooster that was real
Nacho,
real protective. But, you know, he was just doing what roosters do.
We had other pet chickens outside on the hallway, and he attacked
them. Was it killing him? Yeah?
No.
No, just
he did kill one. Anyway, Nacho had to go. And then he started attacking the kids.
I got chased when I was a kid by, we went to a little farm in the neighborhood, and I got chased by a chicken, and he was like throwing up his legs trying to kick me and stuff.
He did that too.
Scared the crap out of me.
Well, I got to the point where they didn't want to come in, so.
Yeah.
And then that's our little crooked neck.
Crooked neck?
Yeah, she got hurt.
When they were
in
the little babies, she got in between
this
the
one?
Gates.
Yeah.
Anyway, she survived, so she's here.
She just has an issue. She's big enough now, the other girls leave her alone. But
she can't reach the water.
She can't reach the water, so
right.
We let her just kind of be outside. She has her own water and feeder.
Guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode. I wanted to just shout out real quick and just say a huge thank you to Noah and Madeline of Swift Hill Farms. Just such a cool family, letting me come out to their farm, hooking me up with this ginormous pile of manure, chicken manure. That's going to go out in my compost, be turned into a really nice soil for later on. And just a huge blessing to have such cool people out here in East Texas. I look forward to meeting more of you guys, sharing your story, and just becoming friends. And I hope you all are doing well. Love you all. Thanks for listening.